Welcome to the Reformist Pipeline, your dose of empowerment and the pipeline to inform your decisions on how you can support change in our education system. I'm Hadi Had, Mr. Broussard. If you're feeling, I'm feeling good.
Okay. And this is Lindsay, affectionately known as Miss Black. So we're going to use your good feelings,
yes.
Okay? And we're going to do our update a little different because the people want to know who we are.
Okay.
So we're going to give a little bit more tidbits outside of just who we are in terms of the field of education.
Gotcha.
So today we're going to talk about something quirky or weird that we do or used to do. So my top thing, I don't even remember how old I was. I just remember we used to live in San Leandro in the Bay Area. My mom used to take us to the marina. And I used to walk and I would just be regularly walking, but I used to do this like gallop kick thing. So I'm gonna show Jihad. I know everybody else can't see. It's probably for the best. But
they'll be able to see one day.
I would be like walking and then
It was a natural get up.
A gallop, rather. It was like what I just did is I don't know how many steps it was. Every few steps I would walk and then I would actually like kick the back of my foot. And I don't know, it just felt like something needed to be kicked.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was very odd. I'm not certain why.
So, you know, and I hope you don't laugh too hard at me, honestly. But so mine was when I was a kid, I used to, you know, every once in a while I want to do a little don't be reading the notes.
Okay, sorry. sorry.
I used to do this thing to where I would like do this like jaw stretch. And so I'm gonna show you, but I would do like this. And so my mom would be like,
oh, you would like rotate your jaw around?
Yeah, I was just like that. She'd be like, boy, stop doing that. You look like you turned it into something. And Liz knows my mom, so.
What is she talking about?
I don't know what it was about, like why I did
it. Was it just side to side or was it in a certain amount?
It just depended on the day and like what it felt like, honestly. So like if it felt like, I don't know if it felt like I was trying to crack it or what, like, but I just knew that I needed to stretch my jaw.
How old are you?
It probably happened between, you know, I was probably like a teenager. Maybe I needed some like jaw alignment or something. I don't know.
You needed Jesus. Interesting. Okay, that's weird.
Well, you said it was
that weird. I did say it was weird. So interesting what you learn about people.
All right.
And honestly, I think everybody has a weird thing that they used to do.
I agree.
You had to.
I agree.
Because society beat it out of us. This is not our fault, Jihad. We were normal.
We were normal. And everybody else was weird.
Yeah. Period. And now for our first segment. Entitled Terminology Time. As you know, this is the time where we take a term that is commonly used in the field of education, we tell you what the term is, and then we give you some examples because we're trying to close that communication gap between educators and muggles. So the terminology time term, there's a lot of T's, for today is, even more T's, assistive technology. Now, this is defined as a device, software, or equipment that helps people work around their challenges. When we think about assistive technology in the classroom, there's a long continuum of what would actually fall under this category. So you could think of something as simple as a pencil grip. You remember those like colorful, somewhat squishy things that everyone in elementary school used to show off in class?
People used to steal them from one another.
Okay. That is assistive technology for those people. It's really for people who have like issues writing, but they're also cute.
Right.
Or you go all the way in the classroom and see somebody with hearing aids, and that's a little more self-explanatory to assist those who have suffered some type of hearing loss for whatever reason. Now, there are many other things that qualify, which leads me to my next point, that able-bodied and neurotypical people benefit from the civil rights movement of special education because these types of people utilize some type of assistive technology.
Mm-hmm.
So y'all remember like going to college or like checking into a hotel when we could do that back before Corona, BC. We used to be ecstatic about getting into
Sorry. I've never heard that one. Sorry.
Before Corona BC. I'm funny. and I like memes. Anyways, you know, when we were like checking into a hotel or got our room in college and we got the handicap room, right? And we're like, oh, there's extra room in this unit. I love it. Make sure you get the big room. That's not for us.
Right.
Yep. That would not have been made for us if that would have not have been made or made a point right. if we didn't have people that have disabilities that actually need more of the room to maneuver with less difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you're someone that likes the closed captions, the subtitles on when you're watching a movie. Closed captions were created so that those who are hard of hearing or deaf could also enjoy that same film. And don't even get me started on iPhone users because you know our girl Siri. That is all assistive technology. Assistive technology is everywhere.
It is. It is. And now it's time for our segment called Two Sets of Notes. This is our segment where we discuss the importance of always having two sets of notes. One set that will help you ace the test and become the status quo, and one for ourselves and tells us the hidden playbook. 2 weeks ago, folks celebrated the 4th of July or Independence Day. However, we wanted to let you know that we did not forget about Juneteenth and wanted to take this segment to talk about this holiday. June 19th, 1865. Celebrated every year, this day is special because it was the final day that the last slaves had received word that they were free. Although Black people had been freed in 1863, it took nearly two additional years for everyone to be freed. This emancipation holiday is celebrated because it continues to mirror the reality of Black people in America today. An America where there have been many systems of oppression that have been put into place that create barriers for people, specifically Black people, including acts of police violence, mass incarceration, and racial profiling, just to name a few. Although these systems continue to create challenges for Black people, it is important that we recognize Juneteenth to remind America about the trauma that our ancestors endured and that the realization that slavery has ended, but oppression has not.
Cut the noise. Cut the noise. Cut the noise. If you're not tuning in to Kicking It with Key, then you are surely missing out. He is a YouTuber, self-care enthusiast, an educator, hey, a queen of unboxing, and a lupus survivor. And Key is also one of my really good friends. Kicking It with Key focuses on sharing personal journeys to light the pathway for others through tips and hacks for everyday struggles. If you're interested in cutting the noise and living your very best life, tune in every other Sunday at 7 p.m. on YouTube. You can find Key on YouTube at Keon Cole. Let me spell it out for you. KianaCole. You can also find Kicking It with Key on Instagram at Kicking It with Key _. I'm going to spell that out for you too. KicKinitWithKi_. Join Key so you can also live your very best life. Here we go with the concept development, which is where we get into the main topic of the episode. We are on our second to last episode in our mini series on special education. And today the topic is 504 plans. Oh my gosh, what's that? Isn't that the same thing as an IEP? No. Similarities, but we are here to cover some of the ins and outs of a 504 plan.
So let's get started. What is a 504 plan? In order to answer this question, we have to first consider the law. Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act of 1973 is a civil rights law that bans disability discrimination. The laws where 504 plans evolved, hence the name. Students have the right to reasonable accommodations in public and private schools. In short, a 504 plan is a legally binding document that makes sure students receive any necessary accommodations and/or modifications based on a very broad range of disabilities.
So in order for even as educators to really understand a 504 plan, we have to kind of compare a 504 plan to an IEP, right?
Because right.
I feel like as if I were a listener, I would have heard IEP before I heard 504.
Absolutely.
But that also depends on your experience.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're going to highlight the differences between a 504 and IEP. Firstly, a 504 is when you have a disability that impairs your ability to carry out life activities like caring for oneself, performing manual tasks, walking, seeing, hearing, speaking, breathing, learning, and working. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, an IEP is for students who have been evaluated and their disability impacts their ability to learn on pace with grade level content. So essentially, they're not performing at their age level. So when we think about a 504 plan in the classroom, it's I'm manipulating the environment.
Yes.
So that you with your disability can meet the requirements. But when you have an IEP, it's I actually can't just manipulate the environment. I have to manipulate how I teach you.
Yes.
So you can reach the content.
Exactly. Wow, that I'm glad that you said it like that. Okay. And also, a 504 has a broader definition of disability. So unlike the IEP, where students have to be eligible based on the 13 disability categories, which were previously mentioned in our IEP process episode. So just take note to that. And then the parent is responsible for advocating for their student, especially because rules vary depending on the state. And some states don't even have a formal document for the 504 plan.
That's so crazy to me.
Right.
I mean, but it's also crazy to me because, you know, sometimes we have this Eurocentric lens where it's like, if I do it, everybody does it.
Yeah. And I also want to say this is also under the, like we said earlier, the Rehabilitation Act. So this isn't under the overarching IDEA law. And I think that the IDEA law made sure that there were a lot of like systems of checks and balances in place so that people know, okay, like this is exactly what I need to do. And here's the oversight that will take care of me if I don't do it.
That's a good point. I didn't think about it that way.
And then also, last but not least, like with the 504 plan, parents are not allowed to get an independent evaluation outside of the school. And the evaluation must be completed by the school. And so I know that we talked about that in the IEP process. Like, even if a school does deem, after evaluation, a school says that your child has this disability, that parent can still go out to a doctor or some type of independent evaluator to say, hey, can you test my student to see what type of disability that they have? You cannot do that for a 504 plan.
Mm-hmm. You made a good point. We had originally talked about it, though. Like, because a 504 plan is not the same as an IEP, people could get an outside evaluation and be like, oh, my child needs a 504 plan because this person said this. But it's like the people within the school building.
Yes.
You know, have to, like, and this is not to say, because we're going to get into some of the details or like the specific reasonings why you have a 504 plan. This is not to say that a doctor couldn't suggest this or there are things that your doctor says you need that we have to apply, that we have to apply to the classroom.
Right.
But it's just a point to make, to note that it's a difference because the disabilities that fall under a 504 plan are so broad.
Right.
It's like anybody could come up with a disability.
Exactly. And then even going back to what you had mentioned earlier, the fact that, and this is what I really hone in on, it is the caring for oneself, performing manual tasks, walking, seeing, hearing, speaking, breathing, learning, and working. And we'll get into this a little later, like you said, but I've seen different administrators not use 504 plans in the way in which they truly should be used.
What do you mean?
We'll get into it later. But
why can't we get into it now?
Well, because I just really want to save it for later.
You want to save it for later? Okay.
Yes,
I was like, wait.
It's a secret.
Why can't we talk about it?
But yeah, so we'll chat about that a little later.
Okay. And we're about to get to that section where we just chat freely. But we do want to give you an example of some of the disabilities that fall under a 504 plan and not IEP. And now, please remember as you're listening to these disabilities, under the 504 law, there isn't a list of specific diseases and conditions because it's hard to ensure that the list covers everything. So they're not specific about it so that if you do fall under these categories, if they were specific, you don't fall off the radar, you're not getting supported.
Mm-hmm.
So here are a few that resonated for us for multiple reasons, including the fact that there are some on our short and non-comprehensive list that we have experience with.
Yes. And so the first one we have is immunodeficiency disorders, and that would include lupus as well as sickle cell, anxiety, and then the next one is epilepsy, and then the next one is diabetes, AIDS / HIV, physiological disorder or condition, such as an amputee, cosmetic disfigurement, mental or psychological disorder, so that's like an intellectual disability or specific learning disability, and last but not least, ADD / ADHD.
So that's our short list. Now, remember, there's plenty of other things that could fall under someone needing a 504 plan. So I was just going to start with one that I have experience with. So I have, this year I have a kid, and last year I also had another kid who had diabetes. He's a little boy that I used to post on Instagram because I used to take him and his brother. They would get dropped off at my house in the morning. I would take him to school. Okay. Yeah, I just talking to the mom. I love her. Some of these parents, I really have like, I'm like, I really love you.
Relationship, yes.
Anyways, back to diabetes. He was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes like second semester in the school year. And so that was when stuff really shifted. Mm-hmm. So because students who have diabetes doesn't stop you from learning.
Right.
Right? It's just your insulin levels are not the same they're not where they're supposed to be. He would have to go and go to the nurse, right?
Get right.
Insulin checked. He also had like a monitor that he had to be aware of. But then he also, sometimes people with diabetes have to use the bathroom more often. So he would have to use the bathroom more often.
Yes.
And he would just have to go. It's not really a conversation. So those would be like another student who doesn't have diabetes. If you're asking to use the bathroom every 15 minutes, Isaiah.
It's a no dog.
Yeah, I don't have an idea, but it's like, it's off for you, but it's not. And so I have to know this information, and it's written in his 504 plan because we do have documentation that I have to make those accommodations.
Right.
Another big thing with children with diabetes, they have to carry snacks, right? Just
yes.
In case their insulin level gets too low, and they have to carry water in case the insulin level is too high.
Yes.
So I have a girl who has diabetes, but she also has an IEP, but she had a 504 plan first.
Wow, this sounds so similar to my situation. So
with field trips are another thing we have to think about, because ideally we want one of their adults to come on the field trip,
mm-hmm.
right? If it's like a 2-hour field trip, like I'd usually just call the parent before and ask them to run. Can you just remind me what they need to do? Because the kids are prepared to do whatever they need to do.
Right.
I'm like, can you just remind me so that I know? And like, they're also allowed to have their phone on them at all times, because it's usually, their phone usually has an app that's connected to a device.
Mm-hmm.
But when we had like full day trips, an adult had to come with her or she couldn't come.
Oh, wow.
Which sounds like discriminatory, but it's not discriminatory. It's just like, which is then on the teacher part, I have to tell the parent 2 weeks in advance that we're about to go on this field trip, because now I have given you enough window, open window of time for you to find somebody to go. But that always felt kind of, it felt bad sometimes.
Yeah. And I can definitely see that. And I'm sorry, I'm really petty, because, you know, I thought about episode 13 when we mentioned Isaiah. So I was wondering, I was like, I was sitting here the whole time. I was like, were you thinking about Isaiah? Because I said it in episode 13.
Or yes, that's why I said it. That's why I said Isaiah.
I had to ask. I really do think that it's important, right? Because I think that there is like, this is a medical condition, and it's unfortunate, but teachers don't get, a lot of teachers don't have CPR, first aid, AED training. Like there's like a limited scope of like first aid things that we kind of do. And even with those things, like
we're Band-Aids.
Right. Exactly. Like even within that, we are told like, oh no, you shouldn't have done that. Like, you should have sent your child to the nurse.
Yikes, because I'll be getting a Band-Aid.
decades.
But there's literally like the, and so like that's why. And so I know it does feel discriminatory, but I think that we also have to think about like the fact that this is a medical condition and this is kind of outside of that scope, mm-hmm. you know?
That's always hard though, especially like when we get into the rest of this list, because learning is like a social constructivist type of experience.
Mm-hmm.
It would be nice to just, cause I've had conversations with my class about diabetes because families have given me the go to talk about it with students, which is why I'm like naming names and freely talking about it because they've given me that go. But even after you explain it, like the girl, we used to get in, she's supposed to go to the nurse right after she gets out of recess. We used to get into it because I'm like, why do I have to keep reminding you to go to the nurse? Like, I don't have this condition.
Right.
Like, this condition is very, very serious. And you know she knows it's serious because she's had it for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I'm sitting here fighting with you to go get your insulin checked so I can make sure that you survive. You're fully aware of it.
Right.
But because you're embarrassed that you have to walk away and go to nurse, even though your friends will remind you, your friends will be like, I don't think you should eat those chips.
Right.
You should have that candy. But it's still like, they're still kids. And it's like, I want to be able to be a kid.
Yeah. And I think that that's the other side of this also is like being able to have the conversation about what health looks like in the communities that we teach in. Because yeah. I think that like even the having a conversation about us being more intentional about eating fruit and vegetables and
yeah.
things like that. Like, that's actually what's not happening. And so when your kid shows up drinking this sugary drink at 8 o'clock in the morning, probably best that we take that away.
Oh, they're not showing
away.
Up at that.
Right.
My kids know good and damn well. You can come in here if you want to. You can come in here if you want to. I'm taking it.
Absolutely.
I'm taking it. And they were watching a video on carbs and
Absolutely.
How carbs don't last as long as protein. And then when you have this sugar spike, oh, we're doing it all.
But see, you're good at that because you know it, though.
Yeah.
But a lot of teachers that I've taught with
don't know.
And they let them and they think it's okay. They think it's cute. And it's like, no, it's not, because that's why diabetes and hypertension and high cholesterol rates, like that's why it runs rampant in the Black community, because of situations like this.
They
like,
come in with that Starbucks if you want. You
right.
won't be drinking it.
Absolutely not.
You like, won't be drinking it.
How old? Why do you mean Starbucks?
Right. And I'm not going to throw it away because I didn't pay for it. But you're going to wait till lunch.
Right.
And some kids are trying to give me attitude. I'm like, I'll call your grandmother right now.
Right.
I don't care who bought it for you. You not drinking it in my classroom. How about that?
Right.
Because I don't care who bought it for you.
Because it's not about that.
Because what are they going to do? They're going to tell me, oh, my son can drink that. Oh, okay. Well, you come in and teach this class. Actually, I'm not even going to say that. I'm going to say, oh, okay. And guess who's not going to drink it?
Them? Okay.
No, you're not drinking that. Another, I don't want to say it's common, but another one that I've experienced, 504 plans around sickle cell.
Huh.
Twice, actually. I had this one cute little boy. He is so cute. And he's really small. But his was the most severe sickle cell I've ever experienced because he's had strokes. Mind you, he was in third grade.
Oh my goodness.
And he's had strokes. Like, I'm not fluent in this disorder, you guys, but I'm just explaining my experience. And so he when you have a stroke, I believe it's the left side that you don't have any control over. So like he has issues tying his shoes because his motor skills, it's like he had to relearn how to do all these things. So his shoes are so tight. I remember one time somebody was like, you need to tie your shoes. You're too old. So I tied the shoes for him. And then I had to tell the adult, I was like, he actually like has a condition and he's not able to tie his shoes. But that's also why the 504 plans are so important, and it's important for people to know because it's his issue. I was going to say, like, it's not that he can't learn because of his sickle cell, but the sickle cell is not what stopped him from learning. It's the stroke and the brain damage, and he has very minimal memory and retention. And this is like coming from his mom. I didn't do a lot of work with him because he eventually had an IEP.
Right.
But, it is scary because he's just a little person.
Right.
And little people be going through stuff.
Yeah. That is that's very important to know too, though, because that type of situation can definitely hurt a child's confidence, especially if it is an adult in the building that's saying, stuff. So like trying to
stepping
up and being there. But and see, that's the reason why, like, talking about these, making students feel comfortable, you know, like that's what's so important about all of
this. And
that's
the reason
why, absolutely, because it's okay. Like, it really is okay.
It's okay. And like, other people have it.
Exactly.
It's
exactly.
Crazy to me. I'm like, and like the amount of students that I know with 504 plans, I'm like thinking about all the adults that I don't know
who
need a 504 plan or who are getting accommodations.
Right.
Because another thing with sickle cell is like people often have to get blood transfusions.
Yeah, I've definitely seen that.
Blood transfusions means you out for that day and you out the next day.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, well, because they're children, yeah. Because
they're babies, yeah.
Their body can't, they're doing a whole blood transfusion. That's a lot.
A whole blood transfusion.
Yeah.
I had a student this year who has sickle cell, and he would also talk about if it got too cold, his legs would start cramping up. So he would have a lot of pain. So I had to talk to the science teacher. I was like, look, it's too cold in here. First of all the kids say it's too cold.
Right.
But I'm like, it's especially too cold for him because he has a condition. So you're going to need to change the temperature of the classroom. So it's just interesting. Like, these aren't conversations that you would think you would normally have to have.
Right.
But because I'm the advocate and I know of the 504 plan and this documentation, I have to have these conversations with you because my child can't be uncomfortable in this space. And his dad, his mom and dad, because they're just more holistic, but they just didn't really want him on all the medicine. That was not to my understanding. He's like, just fill him up with water. If he starts getting hurt, just make him drink the water. And I was like, okay. So every time he said that, okay, go drink some water. Okay, let's call your dad. Let's just ask him.
Right. Just in case.
They used to say the same thing every time I call, but I'm like, look.
Hey, you ain't going to blame this on me.
And they actually, I never received a 504 plan, a documentation for him.
Oh, so they just said that this is the condition?
They just told me, but I think she was saying something about, the mom was saying something about getting the 504 plan from the other school, or like getting the documentation from the doctor and giving it to the nurse, and the nurse giving it to the counselor who's then supposed to have the meeting. I don't really understand the system. I just know that parents tell me he has sickle cell. Okay, I've had a student who has sickle cell before. You just tell me what needs to happen.
Right. Well, that definitely just proves that 504 plans are a lot more informal, because if that's what feels kind of word of mouth.
Exactly.
Which that definitely doesn't sound safe. Don't advise that, honestly. Like, please have it written down somewhere and communicate. But that also, like, shout out to the parents, though, for, like, really trying to communicate it to you. Because
they didn't communicate it to me at first, though.
Oh,
he told me.
Dang, I really just be assuming the best.
You really do assume the best. You're like, shout out to. And this is not a shout out to them, because I think with the miscommunication was that they thought they did what they needed to do to disseminate the information.
Yeah.
But as somebody who, as an educator speaking to parents right now, don't just assume that the teacher knows just because you gave the documentation.
Yeah.
Make sure you follow up with the conversation, because ain't no kid, first of all, kids don't know about sickle cell. So ain't no kid playing around with me talking about I have sickle cell.
Right.
That's not happening.
No.
In fifth grade?
No.
So, yeah, the parents.
Whew. Well, yeah. And that really, really, really is important, because, I mean, they're about to be with your child for how many hours a day? Like, and you need, and especially if the weather, the temperature of the classroom affects it and could create more, like, side effects because of the fact that the classroom's colder or what, like, that's important to know. And I would hope that that's communicated. And yeah, and sometimes,
and
you know,
he's missing days on end.
And then ops team not communicating and not having the actual formal system for where you can access 504 plans. Cause I didn't even really have to deal with a lot of 504s. I mean, but I had a student who had diabetes, and kind of like the bathroom situation, they're always carrying a water bottle. That was what I dealt with. But she also had an IEP, like I said. So it kind of was like a toss up in regards. We knew, like, and she knew, she was in fifth grade. So it's like,
she knew.
Come on, like, go ahead and go. And the only time that she would ask us to eat certain things is when she knew she wasn't supposed to be eating it. Which was always ironic. It was like, girl, come on now.
Stop playing with me.
You know.
There's some days I have patience and some days I don't. I'm like, are you playing with me, young? That's what you're doing right now?
Come on, DC.
A little bit of DC that I got. Pop it.
Come on, DC.
I'm like,
I'm weak.
I was like, oh, so you think I'm sweet? Oh, all right, bet. I'm calling your mother.
Oh, you rolling it all out now.
Yeah, that was when I was Lindsay. I'd be like, I'm not Miss Black right now.
Okay.
This is Lindsay.
Yes.
I know I also had talked about anxiety. Talked about I had a student now the school year's over, who her mom was telling me she suffers from anxiety. And I'm like, oh, I can see it. She's like jittery and all over the place and always looking for like adult attention. And I'm just like, you just have to calm down. But I also know because I have adult friends who like suffer from anxiety.
Right.
And then I also suffer from anxiety in periods of my life. And so I know what that looks like. And I'm just like, wow, you actually went to like a psychologist or whoever you go to that got psych in front of the name.
I don't think you're definitely spot on that. I think you're a psychologist.
Okay, good. I don't know if it's a psychiatrist or not. Because I know psychiatrists can give you medicine. Is that
a
difference?
I think a psychologist also could diagnose you. But I think that a psychiatrist also is the one who can actually medicate you. I think that's the only difference, though.
Whew. But to be dealing, for your parent to know that and to be dealing with it. But that was weird because mom never told me that either. So she didn't have a 504 plan, but...
Right.
You be just knowing.
Yeah.
And you have to make the, like, there were accommodations that were made
absolutely
to the environment
to
address that. Then mom told me she had anxiety. I'm like, oh, well, that makes sense. So glad we switched her to a small group of two students and one adult.
Exactly.
Thank God we did that.
Yeah. And actually, now that she said that, I think I did my last year and we ended up having to give her out of school placement. Because I think that she had multiple disorders. And so because of that, I want to say it was anxiety, but there also was like a touch of like schizophrenia. And ooh, she had an IEP, but it was like one of those situations to where sometimes it's not enough. And so we had to do a really good job of making sure that she was taking on walks and basically do more. Like what was in the IEP wasn't enough. And she transferred in from another school. So that was the whole reason why. And so that was the first thing I was like, no, we need to make sure the student leaves the school. We don't have the resources to support her.
Why would you? Never mind.
But that's.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah. Another day.
So but, we were talking about 504 plans and IEPs.
Yeah, yeah.
Now there is a way. Now, ADD and ADHD, whether you believe it's a thing or not, falls under a 504 plan initially because it's not students that have ADD or ADHD aren't unable to learn the content. It's
right.
That their environment needs to be adjusted for them to do it. But we both have experiences, and I'm going to let Jihad speak first, with students who started with the 504 plan.
Yes.
Because we just needed to adjust the environment for them to learn. But then it transitioned into an IEP because it was now noted that your ADD is now impacting you in a way that you're unable to stay on grade level content.
Yes. And so I had a student who I met him in third grade. I actually want to say you taught him first before I actually had him.
I did.
And that's it. He was so funny, but he just loved to start stuff with students all the time. So whether he was throwing something at someone.
He was like, me!
Right.
Licking something. I don't know what you're saying.
Right. Just doing something. And Miss Danny used to call him Peanut. That was like her favorite thing to call him, whatever.
He looked like a Peanut.
Because he does look like what? Yeah, he does. But whatever the case, the student was so bright, so intelligent, so like it only would take him probably 15, 20 minutes out of the whole lesson to learn whatever he actually needed to learn for that.
Oh, that was your experience?
Based off of what I was it much longer for you?
I never had an opportunity to teach him one-on-one.
I don't know how long it
would have took.
So
carry on.
Off of the right, based off the 504, he was learning very quickly. Academics wasn't really a struggle. He wasn't struggling enough to where he needed an IEP. However, over the course of about, I'd say like a year, one more additional year after he was in fourth grade, we at the end of fourth grade, we kind of did an evaluation and saw that the kind of the environment, he was starting to become a lot more disengaged from the content. And originally we were just thinking that he was being work avoidant, but it actually was because he did not actually know how to do the content anymore. And trying to learn the lessons wasn't as easy. And so trying to push him wasn't working. And so we had to evaluate him and put him on an IEP because the student's disability started to impact his learning. And he was then below grade level. I forgot whether it was on math or on literacy or in literacy, but it was just the fact that it was so interesting to see that switch. And yes, he only needed an IEP for one subject, but that's all it takes for then it to become something that is bigger. And so it starts off as one subject. And so I was glad that we kind of when we did, but it's just important to kind of see the difference between him kind of being on that 504 before the student's disability was impacting his learning to where he is kind of now. And I'm curious to know if he still has that. I really should check in on him. But
I'm curious to know too.
Yeah.
That's interesting because I also have a student. I loop with my students, so I'll talk to them for 3 years. But this little boy in third grade just had a 504 plan, right? He wasn't really behind. He left, went to another school for fourth grade, came back in fifth grade with an IEP. And I'm just like, you get on my nerves.
Yeah.
But my issue with him is that he wasn't consistently medicated. And I'm not saying that you should pump your kids with medication. But what I am saying is that if you're going to give them medication at any point and it's allowing them to make gains, you need to be consistent because I feel like you're doing them a disservice to take them on and off the medication. Because what I know from Adderall or Ritalin is that you get headaches. If you haven't had it over, my brother was also on Adderall. If it'd be Monday, he always had headaches on Monday, didn't want to talk to people on Monday because that's when his medicine started happening again because he didn't have it over the weekend.
Yeah.
So.
The thing is that I really didn't want to say. So drugs also have this thing called a half-life. And so that's the reason why. So if it's not taken at the same time on every single day, then half of it then is out of your body as opposed to the full dosage. I learned that in the drugs and behavior course. So just have to put that in there.
Ooh, my drugs and behavior course that I got master's. Well, we were about to just dive way deeper into this conversation about ADD and ADHD. But lucky for you, our next and final episode in our mini-series is going to be all about ADD and ADHD. So tune into the next episode to hear a little more.
So this is the second to last episode of this mini-series, and summer is quickly coming to an end. The Reformist Pipeline recently launched a national petition which states our mandates for a safe reopening of school. So this week's call to action is for you to sign as well as share this petition. You can find the petition by going to www.change.org/protectoureducators, or you can get the link from our bio. And with that, we look forward to y'all joining us on our next episode.
If you haven't already, go ahead and follow our Instagram pages to stay alert of any and all updates. Follow Hottie at Hottie on the Instagram or the Twitter. And you can follow me at MamaLens22 only on the Instagram because I don't have Twitter because I can't control my mouth enough to have a Twitter.
Peace, love, and light.
Hootie hoo!